To turn again now to that portion of the word that we read together in Luke chapter 24. Reading at the beginning of the chapter. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. The woman who had come did so with no great expectation. They came to anoint the body, as they thought, of the dead Christ. We read that they came early. We have it in John's Gospel, while it was yet dark. In Matthew's Gospel, speaks about as the day began to dawn. In Mark's Gospel, at the rising of the sun, and here very early in the morning. It's interesting, isn't it, that as we read through the Gospel, sometimes we have different accounts seen from different perspectives, some things. And sometimes also there's a different emphasis on certain things that have happened in the life of Christ. But here, obviously, it is seen as something that is so important that every one of the Gospel writers records it regarding them coming to the tomb and what they found there. Now, the enemies of our Lord had obviously given thought to the claims of Christ, as we know, how we have recorded there in Matthew, how that in case that they would, his enemies or his disciples would come and take him away, that they would have permission to seal the tomb because they knew of the claims of Christ himself also, that he would rise from the dead. And again, it's interesting that even the heathens who were around there and the unbelievers, that they had heard that claim. And for one reason or another, they want to make sure that it wouldn't be in any way whatsoever substantiated. And so they sealed the tomb. But little they know, friends, that no power on earth could have kept that tomb sealed that day. Sure, you've heard the account of a very wealthy countess in Germany some many years ago who was an atheist, and she despised everything about Christianity and particularly the resurrection. And she left instructions when she died, where she was to be buried in the tomb where she was, that she would be buried deep, and upon it that there would be different layers of granite cemented together, and then there would be riveted with steel clasps at the end of the 18th century, just to ensure, and there was written across it that this burial plot is never to be opened. But seemingly that without them realizing it, there was a little seed that had stayed in there, and the seed eventually, after many years, in the notes in the grave, that it began to take root, and eventually it pushed through a crack and split apart the granite that had been set over the grave, and eventually a great tree opened it up, and it was wide open to the elements. And a picture there, is there not, of the power of the resurrection. It's a faint illustration, but that's how it is, friends. Nothing can stop and could stop the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever much the tomb was sealed, this was what was going to happen. And so, friends, that there will be a resurrection for all. For the soldiers who sealed that tomb that day, friends, how they will also, on the great day of judgment, how they'll remember what they did that day. And for you and I, whoever we are, for each of us, that there will be a resurrection because of this. Why? Because the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre. I would like us this morning to consider these words. The stone was rolled away from the sepulchre, and to consider it in three different ways, what the stone rolled away meant for the Lord Jesus, what the stone rolled away meant for the disciples, and what the stone rolled away means for you and I today. First of all, then, the stone rolled away for Jesus, what it means for Jesus Christ. Well, immediately we think of that his state of humiliation came to an end. Part of his humiliation was to be put into the tomb, into the grave. But his humiliation now has come to an end, and his glorification is particularly seen from here on. And it also proved for him that he was who he claimed to be. It proved to everyone that he was who he claimed to be. You remember, he had been called many things. He'd been called a blasphemer. He had been called a deceiver. He'd been called a liar. But now the empty tomb is there. And that empty tomb shows clearly that the risen Christ, that he was the one who claimed to be the Son of God. And so it meant that for him, that here now was the evidence of all that he said about himself, of all that he claimed about himself. It was evident to all, but who else could rise from the dead by his own power but God manifest in the flesh? Here was the one who had, everyone had seen him crucified. They had seen him dying there on the cross. They had seen him laid dead in the tomb, and they knew about it. But now he is risen, and for him now, never again will he be under the power of death. Now he is risen to the right hand of glory. And so what had been a state of humiliation now comes to an end. And so from the cross to the tomb to the throne, these were the steps for him. From the cross to the tomb to the throne. Here, there's a sense that not here a cause and effect situation here. How was he to ascend to the glory? How was he to ascend to the right hand of the majesty on high? Well, he could only do that one way. And the only way was via the cross and via the tomb. And you see how that is the beginning, the cause here, and the effect of it is his glorification and his declaring to all that he is the Son of God, that he is who he claimed to be. And there could be no question surely about it. And so we see what we have before us here, ascending to the right hand of the majesty on high. And friends, this is the truth that now speaks to all that he is the Son of God. And it is a truth that all must acknowledge. You hear some people say, well, I believe he was a good man, and I believe he was crucified, and he was believed that went into the tomb, and he was a good example. My friend, no one is saved by that knowledge alone. We have to believe in the three steps. There's the cross, and there's the death and the tomb, and there's the resurrection as well. And that is what we need, and that is what a Christian is, one who believes in the risen Christ who died and who rose again. And that surely is absolutely necessary for us. It is not enough to say he went into the tomb. It is not enough to say that even that he died on the cross. You see, it is necessary to believe what we have here in the empty tomb, the stone removed, and today that is enthroned on high. And for him, this was the proof for all to see that he could now, as it were, it wasn't that he ever doubted what he was, but who now could doubt that this would be true of him, what he promised. Now, for the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes maybe we forget or don't think about. Now, to say that, true of myself, especially until recently, can you imagine his joy when he rose from the dead? Can you imagine, in a very real sense, without going into a depth of his understanding, but at the very, if I can say, if there's such a thing as a basic level for him, that now the grave and the cross are left behind. And the stone was removed. And so he is risen. And the stone removed, of course, not for his benefit, but for us to see who was in the grave and who had now left the grave. What joy must have been his as he exited the tomb. His state of humiliation, and particularly his sufferings, were ended. Surely there was joy for himself as he considered that. And as the prophetic words of Psalm 110 came to pass for him, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." These were words which were a joy surely in the ears, as it were, of the Savior now. After all that he had suffered, and all that he had gone through, and all that he had to endure, till his enemies be made his footstool. And you know, friends, surely, as it were, the first enemies under his feet would be, in a very real sense, those who were immediately, directly involved in his death. Ah, Pilate, you thought that was the end of me, under my feet. You high priest, who despised me, under my feet. You Pharisees, likewise. Now that he would break with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces, as we have a fulfillment of Psalm 2, then would be his as well. And for our blessed Redeemer then, for him now, the 3 years of opposition, of disappointments at times as well, times of weakness, times of suffering, and eventually death, that is now left behind for him. And his loving, gracious heart that had so often grieved because of the continual rejection, now there would be rejoicing in his heart, surely as well. And truly, now what he had said before, now here it is, now I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and I ascend unto my Father. And now here he is, declared openly to be the Son of God, made to be the Son of God with power, declared to be the Son of God, not made the Son of God. He was always the Son of God, but now he is declared. How is he declared? Well, as we have it in Romans chapter 1, by the resurrection from the dead. That's the declaration that tells, and that declares himself to say, that he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And oh, friends, then, what joy for comfort for him now. To know, what else does he know? Death has no more dominion over him. before the incarnation, all the suffering lay before him. And he knew before he came into this world all that he had to go through, including the cursed death of the cross before him. Ah, but now, as he comes and enters, as it were, comes out of that, into the world again, out of that tomb, it's all behind him. And never again will he have to endure any such things. Would there not be then joy indeed with him at this time? What a thought that was for him, that death now would have no more dominion over him. And now assuredly he could say, I go to my Father. And the face that they spat upon, the head that was crowned with thorns in mocking, that is now all left behind. And for his enemies, the last time they saw him, most of them would be as he hung there on the cross. What would be the next view they'll have of him? Oh, friends, that day of judgment, the one they despised and rejected. And he knew that as he entered from the tomb, the stone being rolled away, the tomb being empty. For him, there would now, and there is now, a looking to that day when all his enemies shall be made his footstool. All the suffering and all the agony and all the rejection left behind. And the moment he rose from the dead, these things were in the past, never again to come into his experience. These, at least, some of the things that the stone rolled away meant for Christ Jesus. But then also, what did the stone rolled away mean for the disciples? Well, surely, eventually, anyway, all their doubts and fears, and yes, unbelief, was gone. This was the transformation. Can you imagine, friends, eventually that joy? We know there was that time when they didn't know what was happening, but eventually, as they would look back and the empty tomb, can you imagine their joy? You know, we read there on the two on the road to Emmaus that their hearts burned within them, these two, as he spoke with them on the way. Oh, friends, do you not think that that was also true of all his disciples? When he met with them, when they realized he was risen from the dead, would their hearts not burn also with joy at the thought of it all? Yes, before in these 3 days, they would say, as they had remembered again the two on the road to Emmaus, but we trusted in verse 21 there. We trusted that he should have redeemed Israel. That would have been true with all the disciples. We trusted. But then what a transformation that they then experience. All that they had, they mourned in that deep gloom in Jerusalem for 3 days. Oh, the heaviness of heart they had. The thought that they had of here, the one that we trusted. And now what do we find? The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. And now the clouds, darkness would be gone from them. For them, their understanding that the Son of Righteousness are now arise with healing in his wings. And every stone of unbelief that caused them to stumble so often, it is now removed from their hearts. Not only the stone, but because of the stone, indeed, removed from the tomb, the stone of unbelief also would have been removed from their hearts, each and every one of them. When the day that the great stone was rolled away from the tomb, the great transformation in them as well that day. You know, friends, we never read again after he appeared to them all and they knew that he had risen and that the grave was empty, we never read again that they ever lost their joy or zealousness after that, or any doubts that they had. Oh, friends, yes, they encountered much opposition as they went out with the gospel. They faced much persecution when they went out. Some even suffered death for their faith in the risen Christ. But you never hear of doubts. I never read of any great doubt or dubiety and wavering as they went out with the preaching and as they witnessed to the world wherever they went. The clouds of doubt that had hung over them, that so often have left them perplexed. What happened to them? They vanished away. Why? Because the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre. Because it was a risen Christ that now that they worship. And the clouds of doubt had gone. What happened? The sun had broken through. The sun had broken through and, as it were, warmed again the coldness that they felt in their heart, and with such power that it broke the hard hearts that maybe they were entertaining before. That, as it were, had the bands of death even had been burst because of this. The situation so dark with them at a time at his death. And the stone of sorrowing hearts was war, which was for a time so heavy and impossible to remove. But removed it was for them, just as the stone at the door of the sepulchre. Hard for a while, impossible they would think. But when he rose and they realized what had happened, transformation. What alone could break, friends, the seal of unbelief that was around their stony hearts, only seeing the risen Christ. And that's what was true for them, was it not? Once again, they could now, you know, they would know the Old Testament scriptures, the disciples, and they would have read about these things. But for them, until this happened, it was most of the time as if they just weren't grasping it all. Though I know there were times when they seemed to, other times while he was with them before his death, it would be so. But they would know the Old Testament, and one thing they would know, they would have read what Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." What would they do now? They would say, "Ah, Job, amen. We also know now that our Redeemer liveth." And each of them could say individually, as I pray, we would all be able to say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And so they knew also what Paul spoke about later. He said, "Death has no dominion over him." In Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Death has no more dominion over him. And they would rejoice in that. But then also, as the apostle goes on to say, "And sin shall have no more dominion over you." You see the connection that they would understand. Because death had no more dominion over him, that he rose from the dead, sin would have no more dominion over them. And what joy, surely, that would give them. Oh, there was sorrow at his parting, at death, at their thought. What pain was in their heart at that time. But see the different friends. There's another parting coming. And what do we read about? The astonishing. Look at the end there in verse 52, at the end of the chapter. What do we read there? "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." When? When he was parted from them, and yet they joyed. You see the difference? Before, dead in the grave, oh, the sorrow. But the risen Christ causes them to joy although he was parted from them. What a transformation, friends, in the stone rolled away from the sepulchre that had brought about. And that is the reason. And so for the disciples then, what a transformation. For Christ, there was what it meant for him, what it meant for the disciples, and thirdly, what it means for you and I, for us today. Christian, what does it mean for you? It means everything, that there shall risen Christ. And now you have come to believe in the promise. What promise? The risen Christ. It's good to know that, and it's necessary to know that. But attached to that, for it to be personal to yourself, you believe this, do you not truly? Because what he said, because I live, ye shall live also. And so the grave and the tomb one day will be opened for us all who love him in a different way. Be open for all indeed, but for those who love him. The stone will be rolled away from our grave. Why? Because I live, ye shall live also. And you believe this, and it means that for you, does it not, Christian, here today? Does that not encourage you today? And now you see with the eye of faith, not only the stone rolled away, but by not seeing Jesus in the tomb, you are seeing him through the eye of faith. Isn't that a strange thing? We believe because of what we don't see. We believe because we look into the tomb and we don't see anything. And it's because we don't see that we believe. The tomb is empty and he is risen. And that's where our faith today looks to. And the death then, friends, that was hers is now yours. And you understand now, with the tomb being empty, that he died for you and rose again for you. And he died and he rose again for your justification. And that's where your hope lies, and nowhere else surely today. Can you say that here this morning? Ah, that's me. That's what he did for me. That's where my hope lies. Yes, friends, death is the last enemy. But for the believer, its power to hold you has been broken, has been destroyed. And no more can the grave hold you than it could hold Christ at the end of the day. And we can be assured that already we are casting off the grave clothes of death. For the Christian, the sting of death is removed because the grave is empty and the stone has been rolled away. Maybe you were one who asked at one time, going through maybe conviction of sin, who will roll away the stone of unbelief for me? You remember maybe that time, that stone of unbelief that you struggled with. What did you find? Was it not that when you exercised faith in the risen Christ, when you particularly looked in faith, what did you find? The stone was already removed because he rose from the dead. And that's all that you had to believe. And the insurmountable barrier that you thought was there was taken away and is no more. And so we look now, because of this, we look forward to the resurrection morning. Because I live, ye shall live also. There's the hope. There's the assurance. There's the certainty that we have. And listen, the Lord's Day itself, isn't it proof of what the stone rolled away means? But it's not just for this world or this time here. What, friends, does the open sepulchre, the stone rolled away, what has it done it has opened another door. What door is that? The door to glory, to heaven, where he is. And it is wide open because he has entered in before you, entered out of the grave and into glory, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that door is open now, friend, for you, believer in Christ today. That is your hope, is it not? Do you see it? Oh, you say, my eye is pretty dim at times to see beyond the sepulchre. My friend, lift your eye beyond it. And he is awaiting you there, awaiting your coming, awaiting your entering in. He has warmed the grave so that you would not remain in it. He has taken away the stone from the grave, from the tomb, so you will not remain in it. Why? With this purpose, that he will welcome you into glory, to be with himself. Do you not look to that day more and more? Naturally, I suppose some of us who are getting older, we look for it more and more than we ever did before. But all of us, even if we're children today who love the Lord, we should look to that day, each and every day. And this is the hope that we have. But there may be today some here who still don't see into that tomb, who still don't see anything but a great big stone, as it were, over the tomb. Well, my friend, think about these things. Don't let, whatever you do, don't let it be true that your first view of Christ is going to be when you stand before him on the judgment day. That you would have the eye of faith now to see him as a risen Christ. But Christian, here today, whatever difficulties and whatever dark clouds and days you may have, don't let them rob you of the joy of the resurrection morning. Think about it, and think about what he has done for you and who awaits you there. Never forget, he is risen indeed. Never forget the proof that you have that that is so, the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Let us pray. Lord God, we are indebted to thee for the glorious truth of the gospel, for our glorious Savior. And we thank thee, Lord, that we look into that tomb and see its emptiness today. But it speaks in its emptiness, it speaks loudly and clearly and tells us of our risen Christ and our glorified Christ, and a Christ that is coming again. Ever blessed God, prepare us for that great and holy day. For Jesus' sake, amen.